Our reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 21, and it's page 935 in the Pew Bibles. So, Matthew 21, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that follow shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Good morning. I suspect most of you kind of looked a little bit at the news either yesterday or this morning and will have seen something about the marches that were going on yesterday. Following the recent high school shooting in Florida, there have been a number of protests already, but yesterday there were marches for peace all across the world. Mainly in America, but also in London and other places around the planet, protesting about the way in which gun laws are operating in America. Students have walked out of schools, they've marched on the streets, saying that they should be learning rather than living in lives in fear of being the victims of the next attack. And it seems that some people are starting to sit up and notice there is talk about stopping selling something you can attach to your semi-automatic weapon to make it fully automatic, which is a step in the right direction, but maybe a step of a similar size to the ones that Ben was taking as he led the people around the church this morning. Companies that were offering discounts to members of the NRA, the National Rifle Association, have decided that actually it doesn't look very good doing that, so they're going to stop offering those discounts. Even President Trump, as recipient of the largest amount of financial support currently given by the NRA, has suggested maybe it's time to restrict certain weapons and additions to weapons. But these protests are being led by a group of teenagers. Can anyone name any of them? No, me neither. They are relatively anonymous. They are appearing on TV, and when they do, their names appear on a little caption underneath them. But actually, we don't know who they are. We look at these protesters and we can ask, well, who is this? Others have protested before about that issue, seemingly to little purpose. But now, maybe, please God, there may be some small signs of progress. Some protest movements do make a difference. And in this story of Palm Sunday that we're looking at today, we are looking at a protest movement. We don't view it that way mostly. We view it as celebration, as waving palms, as shouting hosannas, as all those other things. But actually what we have are a group of people gathering for Pentecost. Not for Pentecost, for Passover. That's the one, I knew it began with a P. For Passover, where they celebrate God setting his people free from an oppressive regime in Egypt, somewhere where they were slaves, somewhere where they were captive. And they're celebrating that God can set them free. They're doing that at a time where Jerusalem is run by the Romans. A regime that they'd invited in because it looked like it was better than the last lot, but who now ran Jerusalem and their land through military might and through power. And when they come together in Jerusalem, they would be shouting out, Hosanna, which really just means, save us. Save us. From all of this, save us from the Romans, save us from their taxation, save us from their oppression. A noisy protest, but largely peaceful, but always with the danger it could spill over into violence. People are angry about the way the authorities are profiting from vested interests, while the ordinary people continue to suffer loss. And so they march into Jerusalem as the people were marching yesterday with their placards held high. They march into Jerusalem looking, desperately longing for a better future, liberation from another oppressor. And into the midst of this crowd comes one man, seemingly relatively anonymous, except that this one is riding on a donkey, which we kind of take for granted because we're used to Palm Sunday. But for them, somebody coming in and riding on a donkey is a deliberately provocative act, albeit one that speaks of peace. This man was so different that out of 2.5 million people as pilgrims coming to Jerusalem, this is the one the leaders notice and they say, who is this? Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to acclaim, but also confusion. And it is a somewhat confusing picture of Jesus in comparison with the ones that we normally see. I was looking... Warlord! I was looking for pictures to illustrate my talk, so I did a Google image search for Jesus. And there were two main images that came up. The first one was the baby Jesus in the manger. Christmas. The other picture that came up regularly was Jesus crucified. They're either his birth or his death. Very few show other parts of his life. There has been a lot of merchandise and stuff put together to try and show Jesus in a more contemporary setting. So there are also pictures of Jesus playing basketball and driving motorbikes and all kinds of other things like that. But the ones that are actually focused on what his life on earth was really like, it's mostly these two pictures. And they are pictures of a helpless Jesus. He is either weak, total dependence as a baby, or weak and total humiliation in crucifixion. And it leaves us perhaps with an image of Jesus that is weak, that is helpless, that is this gentle Jesus, meek and mild. There is even a church of the infant Jesus, as if you could separate that from the rest of his life. We read passages that are perhaps well known to many of us, like Philippians 2, 5 to 11, that speaks about how Jesus, although he was equal with God, he made himself nothing and took on the nature of a servant, humbling himself even to death.
And in our world today, that sense of submission, that sense of humbling oneself, we read it as weak. We read it as inadequate. That's not what a real leader should be like. They should be dynamic. They should be going forwards. So when we move to this picture of Jesus on Palm Sunday, we have to ask again, as Jerusalem did, who is this? Is this a weak, submissive Jesus? Or is this something else? As we look at that image today, I ask you the question, how do you see Jesus? Because what we find is various aspects coming out in this reading and yet pointing to so much more. Zechariah, the Old Testament prophet, had prophesied a king, but a gentle king riding on a donkey. Now we tend to think of riding on a donkey as something you might do at the seaside for fun. This is the only place in the whole Bible where we read of Jesus traveling anywhere in any way other than on foot. Even that traditional Christmas picture of Mary riding the donkey whilst pregnant. So you can think, well, maybe Jesus rode a donkey then. Actually, that's not in the Bible either. It's just part of the imagery that's built up. So why is he using a donkey now? Was he just tired? It seems unlikely. Was someone outside Jerusalem offering donkey rides? Less likely. A mark of humility and thinking lowly of himself? Well, not more than walking would be. So the crowd are greeting him. They're seeing this man riding the donkey into Jerusalem and they ask, who is this? And the first answer is that he is a pilgrim. He's traveling with thousands of others to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. It was a requirement for any Jew who lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem to go and celebrate that. And many came from further afield too. Typically about 2.5 million people converged on Jerusalem to celebrate that festival. And the words that they use to greet Jesus with are lifted from Psalm 118. Hosanna, this exclamation of praise. Though it contains, as I said, some other meaning as well. So Jesus is part of the crowd. And like other pilgrims, he's come to offer himself to God for God's service. But is that all Jesus is? As we look at Jesus this morning, is a pilgrim all that we see? Or is there something more? Well, when the leaders ask, who is this? They are told he is a prophet. They're told this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, we're so familiar with the title Jesus of Nazareth, we don't hear how odd it might be. Listen again. This is the suggestion that God Almighty can use a northerner. A northerner, I know! Shocking! Apologies to those who are from the north. But actually, in Israel at that time, the north, I mean, we have a north-south divide in this country, but it's nothing compared to what they had in Israel. Because they had Judea down in the south, they had Galilee up in the north, and in between they had these people, the Samaritans, who none of them really liked. And so you actually had a physical land divide between the north and the south. When Philip finds Nathanael in John's Gospel and says, come and meet Jesus of Nazareth. He says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? And yet they still are recognizing Jesus here as a prophet. Now, no one is expecting, even on the Palm Sunday, that who they have walking in on this donkey is incarnate God. God come among them. But they are recognizing in Jesus a prophet. Now, for our friends in the Muslim faith, they recognize Jesus as a prophet, the last great prophet before Muhammad. And perhaps one of the ways in which we can reach out to our Muslim friends and colleagues is to encourage them to look again at the words that prophet said. to explore them and examine them, because this prophet is speaking the words of God. To ask those questions, to listen to what he's saying, and then to respond accordingly. But still, we've got to ask the question, is that it? He's a pilgrim, he's a prophet, is that all we have? Well, the crowd response goes way beyond anything they do for a pilgrim. No one else at that time had palm branches put down in front of them to make a softer path. But historically, years earlier, they had done that for somebody else. It's not contained within our Bible. Some Bibles will have a section in the middle called the Apocrypha, and the story comes in there of about a man called Simon Maccabeus. He'd laid siege to Jerusalem when it was occupied by Gentile invaders. And they'd come and sought peace with him, and he'd expelled them from Jerusalem. He'd purified the temple, purified the city from their corruption. And as he marched into Jerusalem, they're there with the palm branches, laying them down, making a softer way for him to go. And they did that because, it says in 1 Maccabees 13, verse 51, because a great enemy had been crushed and removed from Israel. The only time we seem to have a record of this happening. And yet here that scene is repeated with Jesus, who also goes on to cleanse the temple from the money changers and the traders who are making it impossible for many to worship God there. They're crying out, Hosanna, which means God, save us. They're crying that to Jesus, whose very name means God saves. They're crying out for salvation. They're perhaps seeing him as another general ready to lead them into battle. But there's still the question of the donkey, which suggests that pilgrim, prophet, and saviour still don't provide the full answer to who this is. You see, Jesus comes in a deliberate and prearranged fulfilment of Zechariah's prophecy to a politically charged group who'd easily see the symbolism in what he's doing. Here is Zechariah's king. Here is the son of David. We were shouting earlier, blessed is the one who comes in the name of our father David. The one who comes in the name of the Lord. And you see, the king coming in is supposed to be God's representative, standing there to fill the gap between God and mankind. Now, Jesus did that way better. He was truly God come among them, but they're not seeing that. They're seeing him, though, as king. And see, a king would not walk anywhere, so Jesus doesn't walk. A king would ride, so Jesus rides. A king would ride on people's clothes. You can see King Jehu doing that back in 2 Kings chapter 9. Jesus previously arranged that a foal will be available so that he can ride and fulfill the details of the prophecy. But this choice, a young donkey. Surely a king would ride a horse. Well, yeah, but only if they're going into battle. A king coming in peace, the Prince of Peace, if you like, would come gentle and riding on a donkey. The next verse in Zechariah, beyond the prophecy that's quoted in the passage that Liz read for us, says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This Jesus, pilgrim, prophet, saviour, king, God, come among us. Perhaps it gets captured in one of those old hymns that often gets used on Palm Sunday. All glory, Lord, and honour to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name comest, the King and Blessed One. So yes, Jesus is king, but he's a gentle, humble, saving king. Not weak, submissive, wet and pathetic king. Not a puppet king, but a strong, whilst also selfless king. next Sunday, as we celebrate Easter together, it's going to be a baptism service. Luke is going to be baptized. And that's because he is recognizing in this Jesus the one who is his king, his saviour. I really encourage you to be here for that service, to bring friends along, not just to celebrate Easter, but to celebrate the way in which that new life and new birth has come in Luke's life and in the lives of so many of us. So Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem. The whole city is shaken, not with an earthquake, that comes the following Friday, when this seismic shift happens in the universe as a way is opened for people to come into the presence of God. But the city is shaken to its core with the hope that in Jesus they have found not just a pilgrim, not just a prophet, but a saviour and a king. They've got this hope, but it is a hope tinged with fear. Simon Maccabeus had led them to great freedom and then been crushed. Others had risen up as messiahs who would lead the people, and they were killed. Would Jesus be like that? Would he let them down? Would he roll over under the Romans like all the others? Is this someone who is up to the job? And as the week carries on, this crowd that are so filled with hope and joy at seeing Jesus riding the donkey into Jerusalem, their hopes diminish, their fears grow. And then on the Friday, the same crowd that are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," instead cry, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Why did it go wrong? Who let who down? If Jesus let them down, is he going to do the same for us? So who is this? Well, see, this is Jesus. This Jesus who takes our expectations, who takes our hopes, who takes our understanding and then remolds them and reshapes them and says, yeah, you got a glimpse of what it was. You saw a fraction of what it was that God wanted to do, but you missed the bigger picture. You missed the fuller story. You saw him as a prophet. But he was a saviour, he was a king, he was Lord, he was God himself come among us. While at the same time being this humble, gentle, suffering servant. Now Jesus may not always match our expectations. But if he doesn't, it's because our expectations are too small. Because our picture of Jesus is too simple and too shallow. If we can see Jesus for who he truly is, fully God, fully man, come among us to show the way into relationship with God the Father and be utterly transformed by the Holy Spirit, he will surpass anything we can ask or imagine. He can redefine those expectations because this is Jesus, King and Saviour. We're going to worship him in a moment with the song, "Who, O Lord, Could Save Themselves?" The crowd recognised they couldn't, and so they cried out to Jesus to save them. But before we sing, let us pray. Father God, we need a saviour and we need a king. We need one who can be a Lord who will not let us down, but will give us everything that we need, even though we don't know what we need. Father, help us this Palm Sunday to see afresh in Jesus the one who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Saviour of the world. Father God, pour out your Spirit upon us that we might see Jesus afresh. we pray in Jesus' name.